Let's pray together. Awesome God, thank you for this day. And God, I thank you for these words that you have given me by your Holy Spirit. And God, as I share them here, I pray that there would be more of you in them and less of me. I pray all that in Jesus' name. Amen. So can you guess what one of the least preached about topics in the church is? Money. All of those things are related to that, but it's money. Money is one of the least preached about things in the church, but that's really unfortunate because it is actually one of the topics that Jesus spoke about the most. Did you know that? That's one of the things he talked about the absolute most, money. It's an important topic for us to consider and to listen for God's guidance on, and yet, to be honest, it is one that pastors are very timid about spending too much time talking about. The reasons for that are many, I'm sure. And one reason is that there is, sadly, this belief held by a lot of people inside and outside of the church that all they ever talk about is money. Well, guess what? That's just not true, is it? It's at least not true in this church. But there's a reason why people are so sensitive to the church talking about money, right? It's a personal reason. It's because we're sort of in love with our money, right? Like this. So we're sort of in love with our money, and we don't like anyone telling us how we should use it, the least of which is the preacher, right? We don't even like for God to tell us how to use our money, do we? That's sort of difficult to argue when God, through the prophet Malachi, was so clear about how he wanted us to use our money, right? He said in Malachi 3:10, he said, "Bring the full tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house, and thus put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. See if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you an overflowing blessing." God was clear, is clear, about how he wants us to use a little bit of the money that he has gifted us with. Yes? Can we agree on that? And yet, the average Christian gives 3% of their income, and the average United Methodist Christian gives 2.5% of their income. So you see what I mean? You see what I mean? We don't even like for God to tell us what to do with our money. So a preacher and a group of church leaders are going to have a pretty difficult time getting that done. Yes? Yes. Thank you for agreeing. And yet we have to, right? We have to talk about money. Money, as much as we would love for it to be otherwise, is necessary for ministry and church administration and God's purposes in the world. Amen? It's necessary. And so here we are. Here I am talking about money from the pulpit. I'm glad you're still here. I'm glad you stayed, even knowing what was going to happen from here today. Here's the thing, though. Although this series will be somewhat about money, and it will conclude with an opportunity for you to pledge your giving for 2018, this series is about more than money or how much you will commit to giving to God's purposes for this church and this community. This series is going to be about generosity in general, actually, living generous lives. It's going to be about what a generous life looks like inside and outside of the church. Because you see, generosity is a lifestyle. It's not a program, right? It doesn't come from a sermon. It comes from a change in the way that we live our lives. If we live generous lives, we are going to be generous not only with our money, but with everything that we are. Amen? That's what a generous life looks like. The first week of the series will hopefully help us to see and believe that even a little is enough when it's given in faith. Just a little can be turned into so much when we give it with faith that God will use it for his good purposes. So many of you have seen that happen with your own eyes. I know I have. I have a friend who tells a story of how she started tithing the whole 10% over the course of many years, just a little at a time. She knew she wanted to be faithful and test God like she knows God says we are supposed to do in the book of Malachi, but she couldn't get all the way to 10% right away, and so she gave a little to start with, 1%. 1%. And next, the following year, she added 1% to that. So that year, she gave 2%. And after several years of giving a little and increasing by a little, she was bringing in the whole tithe, right? And God really did open up the floodgates of heaven, and he poured out his blessing upon her so much that she didn't have room enough for it. I don't know what her income was back then. Frankly, I don't know what her income is now, and I'm glad for that. But let's just say it was the equivalent back then to the average income now, right? In 2017, which according to IndyStar.com is about $40,000 in the state of Indiana. So to start the process of giving a little at a time in an effort to reach the full tithe of 10% over the course of several years, a person who makes an average income in the state of Indiana would start out pledging $7.70 every week, or $30 for every month. I remember commercials when I was a kid, and they would try to get you to do something that was like $20 a month or whatever, and they'd say it's the price of a cup of coffee every day. I can't use that illustration anymore, but you get the idea, right? $30 a month. You can't get a cup of coffee a day for $30 a month now, but you get the idea. $7.70 a week. That seems like such a little amount, though, doesn't it? It seems so little. I struggle to think it's worth the effort to give so little sometimes. You see, I have this instinct, probably a human instinct, to think that a little is not enough, that a little bit is not enough. And sometimes that leads me to think nothing at all is just as good as a little, right? You see what I mean? That struggle, it reminds me of a quote that I have always remembered from a very long time ago. We used to take the girls to the Fort Wayne Zoo quite a bit. And as you're walking out of the giraffe area, at least back then, there was a sign hanging on a tree. And on that sign, it said, "A tragedy is doing nothing because you don't think you can do enough." A tragedy is doing nothing because you don't think you can do enough. Well, sometimes I'm guilty of that kind of tragic behavior. Sometimes I don't give anything because I don't think I can give enough. Sometimes I'm not generous at all because I don't think I can be generous enough. And I realize that that is a tragedy. Do you ever struggle with that yourself? Do you ever convince yourself or let someone else convince you that if all you can do or give is a very little, that you might just as well give nothing at all, or that if you can only be a little bit generous, that you might as well not be generous at all with your life? It's easy to fall into that way of thinking sometimes, isn't it? Especially in this day and age, right? It's easy to fall into that. But the passage that we're looking at this morning can help us understand and believe that a little in the hands of Jesus is enough, right? A little in the hands of Jesus is enough. What happened that day that Mark wrote about shows us that even a little bit of generosity goes a very long way when Jesus is involved. Amen? Amen. Just a little bit goes a long way when Jesus is part of the equation. And Mark didn't write about one or two people giving a massive amount of food in order for the crowd to eat that day, did he? No, he tells the story of what I assume personally, we don't have it in Scripture, but I assume personally was just a few people giving a very little bit with which Jesus was able to feed a multitude of people. In the hands of Jesus, even a little is enough. Our logic doesn't go there very easily, though, does it? Our logic doesn't go there very easily. Actually, our logic sometimes keeps us from giving anything at all if we don't think we can give enough. Imagine, though, if the people who had just a little to offer for a meal that day had used this logic, right? What if they had used this logic? Imagine if when the apostles went to them and asked if they had anything to offer to the meal, they said, "No, I can't give anything at all because I don't have enough for everyone." It could be argued that Jesus wouldn't have had enough to feed the people had that happened, right? And you say, no way. No way Jesus can do anything that Jesus wants to do, right? But I would argue that if that were the case, he would not have needed the 5 loaves and the 2 fish to feed the multitude, right? If Jesus could have done anything that day that Jesus wanted to do that day, if Jesus could have fed those people without the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, then why didn't he do that? Why didn't he do that? And maybe you think he used the 5 loaves and the 2 fish to enhance the miracle for the people that day and for all of us all of these years later. But I have to tell you, I would be much more impressed with something out of nothing than something out of a little. How about you? You more impressed with something out of nothing or something out of a little? I mean, both are obviously miraculous and incredible, but let's be honest for just a minute. Feeding 5,000 men, plus at least probably as many women and children, so let's just say 10 to 15,000 people out of a little bit of bread and a little bit of fish is impressive, but feeding that many people from thin air is at least a little more impressive, wouldn't you say? Wouldn't you say? So if Jesus could have done whatever Jesus wanted to do, why wouldn't he have done that? Personally, I think it is because that miracle included the generosity of others. It included the generosity of others. I think that miracle is one that Jesus performed along with the power of generosity and generous people. And a little was enough that day. A little was enough that day. We're talking through this series about the power of living generously. This story can help us think about what Jesus can do when people live generous lives, right? He took a little from a few generous people, and look what he did with it. Look what he did with that little bit that day. He used that little bit to bless thousands of people. A little is enough, isn't it? And it would have been a tragedy if the people who gave the loaves and the fish that day had decided to do nothing because they knew they couldn't do everything. So they chose to give a little. And because Jesus is good and because Jesus is God, that little bit was enough for incredible and miraculous things to happen through it. Amen? I recently read a story. And it goes like this. It says, a mighty warrior mounted on a magnificent horse was trotting down a road. Everyone, of course, made certain to get out of his way. He noticed, however, directly in his path, in the very middle of the road, was a sparrow. The bird was lying on its back with its feet in the air. The horseman drew in his reins, halted, and dismounted. He went to the sparrow and asked, "Are you dead? And if not, what are you doing in the middle of the road with your feet in the air?" "No," answered the bird, "I'm not dead, but I heard the sky might fall down, and I'm helping to hold it up." The warrior thundered and shook with laughter. He rolled on the ground and slapped his thighs. At last, he wiped the tears from his eyes and said, "You silly bird, even if the sky did fall down, what difference could you possibly make with those puny, spindly little legs?" "Well," explained the sparrow, "you do what you can do." That's where generous living begins. That's where generous living begins. It begins with doing what you can do, right? A few people gave some bread and some fish, and it was enough for Jesus to do a whole lot with. Amen? Amen. This sparrow can teach us a powerful lesson that if we all do what we can do, and we do it in faith, it will be enough. It will be enough. If you're considering putting God to the test in your giving this year, like he tells you to do in the book of Malachi, but you can only start with a little, like $7.70 or something every week, for example, I hope you know it will be enough to do incredible and miraculous things because God is good. Amen? Amen. Because God is good, and it will be enough. That little will be enough. My friend, who I talked about before, helped build this church. She helped build this church by giving the equivalent of $7.70 per week to God's purposes here. That's something, isn't it? She helped build this church, and he turned those dollars and cents into miracles. He used her little bit to help build a church that has been offering Jesus to the lost people in this community for years and years and years. And he will do the same with whatever it is that you can do, whether that be a little or a lot, because he is God and he is good. Amen?
Amen.
That's what I hope that you leave here this morning remembering. God is so good. And whatever you can do, however generous you are able to be, whatever little bit you can give, through Christ, it will be enough. Amen? It will be enough. We're all going to have an opportunity to, or those of you who come back for the opportunity, all right, we're going to have an opportunity to test God in this as we prayerfully consider what we'll pledge to give for his purposes through this church in 2018. Well, as you consider how you'll respond that day, what if you realized what that little sparrow in the story realized? You do what you can do, right? You do what you can do. What if you realize what my friend realized? Even a little is enough, and you do what you can do. What if you realize what the people who shared the 5 loaves and the 2 fish that day realized? That little bit that fed the crowd, that when we live a generous life and let Jesus be at the center of it, he will do amazing things with just a little bit. What if you allowed that philosophy and your faith in the miracle working power of God to lead you in your giving, to help you know what it looks like and how God responds when you choose to live a generous life? I think God will do for you exactly what he did for my friend that I talked about, my friend who gave a little and watched him bless her in return. I think God will do for you what he did that day when the apostles gathered 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. He took that little bit and he fed thousands of people with it, because with him, even a little is enough. The sparrow in the story was onto something, yeah? I mean, can you imagine walking up on him and having him teach you a life lesson? So, or at least the author of the story about the sparrow was onto something. You do what you can do. And for people of faith, for followers of Jesus, we just know that God will do the rest because he's good and he's faithful. Amen? Let's pray together. Faithful and loving God, we thank you for this miracle that occurred through Jesus and a few generous people and 5 loaves and 2 fish. But God, may it be more than a story for us. God, may it be a lesson. May it be an example that God, with you, all things are possible. And with you, even a little is enough. And so God, I pray that you would soften our hearts about our money. And God, help us to prayerfully consider how you would have us use it. And God, help us to know that you do what you can do. And with you involved, a little is enough. We pray all this in the precious name of Christ. Amen.